time I was, I haven't really got much about the work God's doing in South Africa. It's encouraging, but is this better? We've got an interpreter outside in the foyer. Oh, you're rather funny today. You should come and visit us. We talk faster than this. Many of you, actually you're all involved in the work in South Africa, because you pray for us, you know what's going on, you think about us, and we are in one family, which is great. Yeah, God's family. So we are one, which is tremendous. So when I talk about the work, as well as when you hear about the work in the Cameroons, or in India, or China, or wherever, if it's in the Lord's body, we're all a part of it, which is always very, very encouraging. Oh yeah, I forgot. One thing I always tell people in Africa. No, if I hear a cell phone, it's mine. Hey, I could go home with lots of cell phones. No, no. It's the same everywhere. You know, South Africa, sometimes people think of Africa as kind of desolate huts and that. No one's got much. There are more cell phones in South Africa than people, which is crazy. I don't know. Statistically, that's it. Cell phones are everywhere. Africa is becoming more inundated with them, because sometimes you can't put telephone lines and that up. So it's easier to use satellite or just one tower. So they can have access wherever you are. So cell phones are everywhere in Africa in general. And that's one thing people don't realize. You know, sometimes we're in the middle of the bush doing something, and some of these older ladies, more mature ladies, who are there, who really, to look at, you think, man, this is really Africa, you know. And they want to take a photograph. And they... Jeff's seen that. You think, what? Where did that cell phone come from? And it's got a camera, so it's quite a modern one. That is art, and it's just amazing. So Africa is a continent of diversity. And South Africa is as well. Hello. Good to have you with us. You missed the fun part. Yeah, we had interpretation earlier. But and God's kingdom is really growing. I know years ago, I don't know if any of you know Wendell Broom, or have heard of Wendell Broom. You've heard of Wendell Broom. He was like seen as the guru with mission work in Africa. And he said, and I don't know how he did his research, but statistically, the church was growing the fastest in the continent of Africa. Yeah. That's interesting. And we've got guys that we train. Part of their vision and dream, part of their dream, is to come over here and be missionaries. Well, hey, keep that dream. You never know what's going to happen over here. But, you know, they need a dream. Everyone needs a dream. And to reach that dream. And sometimes it needs to be an impossible dream. I always remember that song. Impossible dream. I won't sing it. Bad at singing. But we need one, because then we know when that's happening, it's God. It's not us. It's all about God. Because when we think and dream something which we can do, we get in the way of God. And we box God into a little thing. So, okay? Well, here's God. We'll leave God here. And we go and do everything over here. We all know that. And it's difficult to break out of this. It's like teaching. Yeah, when you teach, you have to go over and over and over and over and over something. Until you know the... Oh, yeah, that's going to go by itself. Which is fine. Otherwise, I'll get stuck on one. teaching is repetition, just in different ways. Until you know the person has got it by the way they live their life or they approach a problem. And if they do it the way you've taught, you know, hey, the light is on, which is good. And that's God within us. He needs to work through us, and we need to align. That's why flexibility is important in our Christianity. But Africa is huge. Continent, can you see back there? Can you see through me? I'll come and stand here. I'll stand next to Tony. If he goes to sleep, I'll just wake him up. No. It's a huge continent. And sometimes people will say, yeah, do you know so-and-so? They live up in Uganda or wherever. Even in South Africa, it's big. Don't know them. There's a slip there. Yeah. Can't really see it that well, hey? Yeah, you can. We're right in the tip. And if I point this there, it doesn't work, eh? We down here. Yeah, right at the bottom, where the P is there. Right there. So, the Cameroons is up here somewhere. It's in this area. And that is about 3,000 miles, maybe a bit more. Maybe 4,000 miles. It's a long, long way. And Africa is just full of people. It's just full. So, if you've got any questions at any time, you can raise your hand. If most of you got a question, you can raise your hand. I'm going to give you a hard time today as well. But I'll just talk about Africa in general, the work we're involved with. South Africa, it's broken down into 9 provinces or states. And we got about... How many million people have we got? Good guess. No. A bit much. Divide by 2. We got about 55 million in South Africa. We haven't got that much in population, really, but it's growing. Half our population is under the age of 17. So we've got a very young population. But South Africa is decimated with AIDS as well. A third of the population is HIV positive, which causes a huge problem. Just in the economy of it, and there's a lot of factors involved with it. Part of our outreach is we teach our leaders how to teach people with HIV. And we've got a whole system or a teaching arena that we use with it. It's called God's Answer to HIV and AIDS, done by someone else. Excellent work. It gives a whole gambit of what is AIDS, if you've got it, how should your view of God be, how should you live, if a friend's got it, how do you minister to that friend. And it's really good. And we train our leaders about it, because all of us are dealing with it over there. Yeah, you don't hear about it over here that much at all. Only when someone speaks about it, really. Over there, it's all the time. It's there, it's in your face. It's still a pandemic in South Africa. One area we work in Soweto. Soweto is one of the biggest township areas in South Africa. Southwestern Townships, that's what it stands for. Nelson Mandela and Bishop Tutu, Desmond Tutu, 2 Nobel Peace Prize winners, they grew up in their older years in the same street in Soweto, Vilakazi Street, which is very commercialized now. Yeah. South Africa is known for many things, good things, bad things. That's one of the good things. But people, just people. The fellow we work with there, Nyson Madubeko, his son helped in a large cemetery over weekends with 7 of his friends. They used to direct the various people where to go for the funerals. They buried over 1,000 people a weekend there.
So, is there rampant sexual immorality causing this AIDS?
Well, that's one of the causes, promiscuity. And it is. It's pretty bad. But you've got drug use, any blood-related use, needles, any transmit. They get told, they get instructed, but it's like teaching. You hear it once, it's like, oh, what was that? You hear it 10 times, it's still, oh, I heard something. It's difficult, and even living in that society, people always think it's never going to happen to me. Never. Yeah, they are. Yeah, and it's a problem. Yeah, it is. But what it's creating major problems, obviously, if you've got that many people infected. Because the government gives an aid to, or a grant to people, but your CD4 count, which is to do with your immunity and your white blood cell, it has to be so low, you're nearly dead. Okay, it's just one of those benchmarks they use. And then the people can access free medication. And now what's happening is that medication, we call it ARVs, antiretrovirals, it's free, but Cheryl, my wife, phoned when I spoke to her the other day, said, oh, they're running out of it. Oh, well, I'm going to run out of it, yeah. Somehow in your infrastructure, some people have decided, well, we're going to sell this on the market. Because what's happening is the drug dealers are getting it, and they are opening up the capsules and that, mixing stuff with Ratix and bleach, etc., and making a drug and selling it on the market. It's called Wonga. Actually, there are a lot of names for it, Wonga, Nayope. Yeah, it's like some drugs today. It's known by many names. And they sell that very, very cheaply. Because the guys have either stolen it from the AIDS sufferers, or they've bought it from them at a very cheap price. So now they're selling that drug to people out there, and usually younger folk, who get addicted to it. And they do crime so that they have money to buy to feed their habit. Yeah, it's a vicious cycle. And the person with AIDS is not taking their medication. So they're getting sicker and sicker. And they get admitted into the government hospitals and have free treatment. I remember, a third of the population is positive. So this is a huge burden on your whole financial base, because someone has to pay for this. And it's one of those catch-22s that's coming up. So it's something we have to deal with. We live with it. It's like things over here you guys have to deal with. It's different from our situations and the problems we have. But you need to deal with it from a spiritual or scriptural standpoint. And that's what we help our leaders that we train over there. What about Miss Jeff? She just was sitting there listening to me for that. I missed a lot, eh? Oh, you got a question? Oh, very good.
And so, beloved brethren, I want to share.
You look at sometimes what people in higher places have legislated or whatever, and you think, what? That doesn't make sense. It's the same there. Sometimes it's a bigger what over there. But we live in that society, so we have to deal with it. And try and bring out a scriptural way to try and sort it out. So it's quite common like that. That's why for me it's nice to be over here where things usually run pretty smoothly, which is quite nice. I have to readjust this week to go back. So I'm going to start driving on the other side of the road as well. It's dumb. Yeah, this is part of it. Good question. And it gets us back onto track. You think very good. Yes, I'm glad you're here today. Okay, the work in Sebokeng, which is our first center we started, that's our key area, and we've done a lot of investigation and trial and error there. We train up to 100 church leaders a year there, and that's been going on for the last 6 years. Before that, we did work there, obviously, but it's just developed over the years. And these are people who studied with World Bible School, and I know the congregation does some World Bible School here, and sometimes you don't think it's effective because you don't hear from your students, etc. But if the lessons are getting there, it's working, because we use that as a sifting base to find people who are serious about God's work, because you want to help train people who are serious about things. Their passion is God and to do His will. So we've had about 100 students for the last 6 years. They come from all different groups, denominational groups. Okay, that's important to realize, because most of their church groups are not training them. And they want to know, how do we study God's Word? And I say, I don't know. No, I don't. But we will help you. And so they come in. We don't charge them. And we are getting over 500 converts a year from this ministry, which is large. And that's like the dream I was talking about. When I step back and look at it, it's not me. I cannot do that, but God can. Because God is working in the lives of these people. So how many churches of Christ biblical churches are growing? Man, it's hard to say. I know initially when I started working in that area, we helped plant 3 around us. But that was nearly 20 years ago. But that doesn't mean to say that's the only churches that have been planted. Because we are training leaders, and they are teaching what they hear being taught out there in the field to their churches. So it's like a discipling. That's why part of our logo is the 2 Timothy 2:2 on. Things that you've heard, teach reliable people who will go out there and teach. So we're having whole church groups. I had a phone call about 4 or 5 years ago. Brother, you coming out today? It was on a Saturday, early in the morning. I said, no, I plan to go somewhere else today. No, brother, you need to come here to the Sebokeng area. We've got something happening there. I said, well, I'll be there soon. Which could be any time. But they have to fill the baptistry up first, which takes about 3 hours there. Because of various factors, but it takes a long time. So I said, okay, I'll come out. What's happening? He said, no. One of the brothers, he's been teaching his congregation, and they're all coming, and we're having 84 baptisms. What? And in a way, it's not me. It's God working through what we're doing there. Training these people in God's way. And as we train them and they understand the truth, they want to follow it and teach it and share it. So these people are being converted to the God of the Bible. And that's important to know. It's Jesus. It's all about Jesus. It's not about me. It's not about the name of that church or that church or that church or that person's teaching. It's Jesus and the teaching of Jesus and God. That's what's important. And we know that. But it's good to hear it. And it's good to hear instances where this is happening. Yet sometimes it takes 6 months. Because we teach these people all every week. It used to be 5 days a week. But now it's on Wednesdays and Saturdays. There's a lot of factors involved in why we changed it. But it's working and it's voluntary. You know, they don't pay to get taught. And I don't pay them to come in. maybe that's untrue. Because sometimes I help some of them with transport costs. Because you've got grandmothers in their 90s walking there, and it takes them 3 hours to get there. So sometimes I will give them some money to get their transport in, or to buy food. So that's how it's been going for 6 years. So how many churches? It's a good question. But I have to tell the story so you understand what's going on. It could be hundreds. And I tell them, look in the Bible. What should we call our church, brother? What should we call our church? All right. Whatever's in the Bible. Study your Bible. See what God calls His church, what Jesus calls His church. It belongs to Jesus. Oh, it's a church of Jesus. Yes. Oh, it's a bride of Christ. Yes. So they're starting to know that, and guess what? They'll change their names. As long as it's biblical. I tell them, if it's in the Bible, that's great. The teaching we give them, and I'm one facilitator now. We've helped train a whole lot more over the years. We've got six centers. There's that one plus five others in the area, training centers. Because we've decided that we'd like to help the people who walk in. So we'll see where there's a concentration. And we'll ask one of our facilitators we've trained to set up a training center in that area. Hey, you may have five people, you may have 25 people. So they're all dotted all around now, which is great. But we still have about 60 who come into the main center. Yes. Christians only, not the only Christians. And there was a book that we used to use, I can't remember who it was written by, which was a very good book. The fella died long ago and it's out of print. Did you have something? No? No? Slide on Gauteng, it's in there. Yeah, then you'll find. It's a bit further. These are just different provinces. Okay. Gauteng is the province that I live in. It's the smallest province. Okay. I live here in Kempton Park, okay, next to the airport. That's the international airport. Johannesburg is down here. We're still in the footprint of Johannesburg. Yeah, it's like big cities. They've got big footprints. So in this area here, okay, there's probably around 10 million people. It's large. It's the smallest area. Area-wise, I'm not too sure. I know. Okay. So in this whole province, the whole brown area, I'd say there's probably 15 million people, 15 to 16 million people. So your population concentration is there. We've got an outreach center here, which is close to us. It's in Tembisa. There's one here. This is Soweto here. Okay. And the one down here is Sebokeng. So Soweto is where Mandela and Tutu are. There's about 5 million people there. So, and it takes about 30 minutes, 40 minutes to get from here to here. Johannesburg is very built up. Oh, thank you. Oh, that sounds worse again. You know, if you've ever, you can hear yourself in the back, it sounds, it's weird. But it's just huge population, modern technology. It's a first third world society we live in. And someone was asking me about, is it safe there? God's in charge. We've got so much crime there, it's unbelievable. You know, it's one of the crime centers of the world, which is not nice for tourists, but it is. It's just bad news. Yeah, where we live, we've all got fences. Yeah, it's nice over here. Hardly anyone's got a fence. Or if you've got a fence, it's a small one to keep your dogs in the back or something. Or if you've got a pool, it just gives you some privacy from the pool. But over there, everyone's got fences. And usually they're 6 foot, maybe higher, with barbed wire on top or electric fence and... Sorry? Oh, that's right, yeah, broken glass on top. You just try and reinforce your security. Yeah, we got dogs, but they're kind of Labradors, which aren't really vicious dogs, but they can get there. We've got a 24/7 armed response on our house, Chubb. Because over there, it's Veterans Day. I refused to carry a weapon after I went through the military. After that, I said, I'm not carrying one anymore. But violence and crime are so high there, I said, well, we have to have some type of security. So I opted for a security system. And Chubb's pretty good. Yeah, our neighbors got robbed a number of years ago. A big shootout in their house. It was at midnight. My wife slept through it. Which is great. The kids ran and said, get down, get down, get down. Four guys followed their son home one night through the electric gates and just broke in the house. Quickly beat them up a bit, robbed them, and as they took off, the guy had a safe with his weapons and out with his weapon, big shootout. No one got hit. No one. They called the police. The police took over an hour to get there. Armed robbery. I pushed our panic button. The Chubb guys got there within 3 minutes. I said, are you injured? I said, no, but the robbers may be in our yard. I don't know where they were. I wanted the guys there. 3 minutes they were there. And they waited with us until the police came. So the effectiveness of our police force? So... Yeah, it gets... Yeah, I know. Correct. Yeah. And usually the robbers have got better weaponry than the police. And the big thing is there, they'll break into your house. If you've got weapons, they'll steal your weapons first. And they'll use them against you. So I opted, we're not going to have these things. Yes, Tom. I get off track sometimes. It's interesting chasing these rabbits. We have these special cards You see them outside. Our special, it's not a business card, but these, there's three different ones. Oh, you'll get, there's a special offer on these cards today. You know that. If you take one, it's $50. If you take 10, they're free. Would you like one? Oh, if you take none, it's $100. Uh-oh. See what happens if you say that. You know what they said, Tula? Which means, be quiet. Hey, God's got a sense of humor. Anyway, I'm just going to give these out. Because what it is, on the back is a QR code. They come up on the screen as well. They're up there. See, I'll give you a bunch. They don't bring me anything. Oh, Jeff's going to help. That's great. And everyone can take them, okay? Young, old, unborn. I'll let you. Oh, there they are. I'm there. Okay. So this one highlights our ministries. If you can just hold it on there for a little bit. Okay, this is, you'll see from the cards, you may get some of each. It's our training leaders. This one is. This one is about the AIDS. I've told you a bit about AIDS. We've got a clinic on our center, which is run by the government. It's the AIDS and TB clinic. And they get about 7 to 9 new AIDS patients a day there. New ones. I know Jeff spoke to the nursing sister who was there last time. I don't know how many hundreds of people come there. But they've asked, the people we're training, the government asked us if we would send them over spiritual counselors. I said, no, we can't do that. We're training these people. Obviously we do. So we send some of our leaders we're training over to be the counselors. But the government also asked us to oversee another 6 clinics in the area in the same way. So we work in 7 clinics, just on a spiritual base, which is great. So that's that one. And then this is our preschool, and feeding the hungry kids and that. You know, 50% of our population under 17. A lot of the young girls who get pregnant usually contract AIDS as well. So they die, and they leave the kids with the grandparents. Oh, it happens over here, not the same way. But that's what's happening. The grandparents came to us in the area we were in, very impoverished area in Cebu King. And they asked us to start a preschool. Well, I did not go over there to start a preschool. That was not my calling as far as I knew. It was to train leaders. But God brings people and ministries in. And this was one of them. So we've had a preschool there for going on 14 years now. And we have anything from 12 kids to 140 kids. It just varies. Yeah, by mere fact of the transient nature of the people around and just what's going on. Yeah, Tom. So that's part of our other ministries. Yeah. You're right. 20, it's about the same because inflation goes up, but exchange rate changes. It's costs about nearly $25 a month to feed the kids 2 meals a day, which isn't bad because we feed them. All the whole time that school's been open, we feed the kids 2 meals a day, plus the teachers, because they get paid less than $100 a month as a stipend. Now, I can't afford anything more. Yeah, and that just, because remember, this was not in my main ministry list. So this was outside the budget. And you know what it's like working in a budget. Very difficult. Yeah, so, but when you got kids coming along, they've got no parents, they're probably orphans, a lot of them are orphans. A third of those children are HIV positive as well. AIDS doesn't discriminate. So if they don't get decent food, protein, they're going to just shrivel up and die. It was also called the thinning disease. That's a local term for it. Because that's what happens. Your body, your immune system just gets eaten up. And you die usually a horrible death from some disease. Usually it's pneumonia or tuberculosis or something like that. So we want to feed the kids. And then we have the kids' friends come. this is always the case. So we probably feed twice as many people than that are there. Yes. Oh, yes. We always need support. We have great faith. Well, the kids sometimes don't get the best food. Because there's just no money. We're trying to grow our own vegetables. We've got a vegetable growing project on site. But a problem comes up. You need the right people to do that. Yeah. A person has to have the passion for something. Otherwise, if you give them a task or a job, they do it for a little while. We all know this. It's happened to us as well. Sometimes we are forced to volunteer for something. And after a short time, your interest goes, no. It's the same there. So we've battled to find the right person. And I'm still praying to God that God's going to bring. And, we don't pay the person. So it has to be a ministry. And these people haven't got money. Yeah, we could, all this, it's a mess. It's a big mess there. And so the people want money for the work they do. I can't give it to them. And I tell them, no, you can have some of the food. Eh, but brother. That's a favorite term. Eh, but brother. I say, well, yes, my brother. So, we need more in our budget. But I don't normally talk about the budget. Because I want you to see the ministry and what's happening. And it's all about God. The dream is bigger than I can imagine. If I could do it, then it would be my ministry. It's not my ministry. It's God's work. Sorry, you had a question. 5 minutes up. It's similar. Yeah, it's very similar. Zambia is Shima. Zimbabwe is Sadza. South Africa is Pap. Pap, and it's relish, chakalaka, which is tomato, onion, but pap is a corn-based stodgy thing. And sometimes they have meat, which is a big problem because protein, high protein and meat, but it's expensive. Yeah, it's chicken. You're honored. I was going to tell you the story about emu. we had a petting zoo there at one stage. Because the kids never see any other animals. So someone said, hey, brother, let's have a petting zoo. I said, okay. So we had ducks and geese and turkeys and peacocks and two emus. But these things disappeared slowly over the weeks. Until one day I got there and the emus were gone. So we are emus. We are they. They're big birds, eh? They stand about that high. Oh, brother, we don't know where they are. I said, well, someone must have seen these things. It's not like a chicken, No, brother, no one saw them. Where are they? Oh, they ran out there. And there are just shacks everywhere. I said, well, why don't you go and find out who got my emu? Eh, no, brother, we cannot do that. We don't know where it is. I said, I want to know who got the drumstick. So it's who ate my emu. It became an eating zoo. Taking zoo to eating zoo. Sorry.
How can they learn more about your ministry and how to help God's kingdom?
Thank you. Jesus, I'm so glad you're here. I'm so glad I'm here. We got these things outside. But those cards, There's a website on there. It's on here as well, reachingandteachingsa.org. All of this stuff's on there. We've got a lot of other videos, little short ones, and they're not 10 hours long, eh? Some of the 2 minutes to 5 minutes long. They're snippets of the different ministries. It's on that website. That's at African time. I want African time here, right? Siyabonga. So, on the card, you can scan it in with a smartphone or ask someone who's got one. Or just take down the reaching and teaching. Or pick up one of these. They're outside there on the foyer. And or one of these. See, you've got lots of things. These are free. Okay, they're free. Not charging you for these. That's fine. So you can find out more about, or ask Jeff, or ask FL, he's been there, or Charlie's been there. Nolan came over recently in May, and he wants to come back. The ministry is just, you can do, if you do come over, you will be put to work. And guys, if your wife wants you to lose weight, come over. By and large, you'll lose about 10 to 15 pounds. Because I do not feed you. Emu. No, we got no more emus. I'm sorry. But I'll give you other food that you may not want. But any other questions? I'm obviously around here for a while. I'm staying with people you know. Yeah, obviously, Jeff and Ida. I'll be here until Friday. If you've got any questions, I'm here after service or in evening, during service. I may step out into the foyer if you want a bit of a break from the preacher. We'll talk outside. No, I'm joking. I'm really looking forward to Jeff's. I know the congregation here is changing. I've noticed in the last 3 years. It was 3 years ago I was here. It's growing. There's a different vibe here, which is great. And I know God's going to do tremendous things through the people here. See, yeah, even turning my PowerPoint off. thank you. Thank you for your questions. Thank you for your interest. And I know God is going to open doors for you to do ministry here. I was at the coat session last night. I did not take one because it is summer back home. I'm going back to a hot climate. It's now nearly 90 degrees every day there, so I can't wait to go back. But thank you very much.